1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham, taking you up to 11 o'clock. I wanted to get into, as we ease our way into this final hour here, I wanted to get into the running back position for the Washington Commanders. And Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Washington Commanders, actually spoke about the running back position earlier this afternoon. And Brian Baldinger of NFL Network, Odyssey Sports Insider, he joined B. Mitch and Finley yesterday and had this to say about Brian Robinson Jr. and the fact that the Commanders have him on the chopping block.
Personally, if I could keep B. Rob, I would. I mean, I just think big backs are at a premium. You know, they're not a, there's not a lot of them in this league. We have a lot of guys that, you know, can, you know, that can be third down backs, can, you know, are quick to the hole, but you don't have a lot of guys that can pound you and wear you down. And I think Brian does that. I mean, he was solid last year. Like, they split the carries up. That's fine. But I think there's a place for big backs, power backs, short yardage, goal line, tough yards, 4-minute drills. I just think there's a place for them. So if you said to me, hey, would you rather have Brian Robinson or not? I'd go, I'd much rather have him. And I think, you know, he's like, what? I don't know what the contract deal is. I try not to pay attention to all that. We have all these insiders that do that stuff. But I think there's value in keeping Brian on board.
I totally agree. It's not the way Washington's going to go about it, obviously. Is it now points, all signs point towards him either being cut or traded before cutdown day. So, B-Rob most likely has played his final snap as a Commander. I have to wonder, you know, how smoothly that conversation went in terms of, yeah, you know, we're going to be moving on from you at some point here. I think Brian Robinson is one of the best 32 running backs in the NFL, so I don't worry about him landing on his feet. The question that kind of I pose here is, when it comes to the running back room of the Washington Commanders, B-Rob, I continue to say it was the odd man out. Why? Because he does not play special teams. In terms of my final 53-man roster, I've got, you know, four running backs: Austin Ekeler, Jeremy McNichols, Bill Kroski Merritt, and Chris Rodriguez Jr. I think those four guys are a shoe-in, and I think they can keep all four of them, depending on the numbers game at another position, because they all play special teams. So that to me is what really made Brian Robinson Jr. the odd man out. My question that I have about the current state of the running back room is, when you're in those short yardage situations and you've got to pound it, who is going to be the guy to do that? Dan Quinn answered that question earlier this afternoon and had this to say.
And in terms of the backfield, obviously, Brian was the short yardage guy. He was very effective in that role. It's easy to say, hey, Chris Rodriguez has that style. Is that kind of how you view it? Like, he's like the guy that's likely to be that short yardage, maybe goal line back?
Yes, and I would say there's also parts of our offense that are a little bit untraditional, you know, where we're not, you know, traditional and using a lead blocker sometimes in short yardage. So, but I do like knowing that Chris has that tackle breaking ability, and especially, you know, in a small space. But yeah, I would say that would be one that's at the front of the thinking first.
So first of all, like, the second part is saying the quiet part out loud. They have a unique rushing attack. I don't think that moving forward for Washington, all of a sudden, you know, Bill Kroski Merritt is going to be the feature back and he's going to get 25 touches a game. I just don't think that is the case. I don't. But in terms of how they view Chris Rodriguez, I think he deserves a ton of credit, right? I'm a big, you know, proponent of not letting your circumstances dictate your work ethic. And if I could tell C. Rod's story here a little bit, got a DUI during his final season at Kentucky. I had a little bit of a fumbling problem. Ends up falling in the seventh round. Washington takes a shot on him. Last year, according to folks I spoke to close to the situation, fell out of favor early last year because of poor conditioning and not having his body in tip-top shape, him simply not being in tip-top shape. But by season's end, he was getting touches. He was a part of this thing. John Kime report, always check that out to get Commanders news. John Kime, one of the absolute best when it comes to talking to Burgundy and Gold. On his podcast, he shared that Chris Rodriguez had worked out with a trainer in Atlanta this past year, a speed trainer. That run that he had on Monday night maxed out at 20.6 miles per hour. Chris Rodriguez last year did not have a single run that maxed out past 16 out miles per hour. So you want to talk about if his strength and conditioning work or speed training rather, when account for if it's working or not, you bet your ass it's working. You're seeing it in real time. And I think he's had a good camp. Always thought he ran hard, but I always was like, well, damn, it's easy to run hard when it's the second half and, you know, defense is worn down. But I'm excited to see the opportunity that he gets coming up here in the regular season. I'm not giving away state secrets when I say it. I think Washington's running back room, honestly, is pretty unheralded outside of Austin Ekeler. Not a lot of proven commodities there. But in terms of the way the rushing game looks next year, is there enough balls to go around, right? C-Rod's going to need touches or want touches. Austin Ekeler, I think, is going to be, you know, game plan specific, like Logan said, and featured in this offense. Bill Kroski-Merritt's got a skill set that, like, it's hard not to get excited about. So he's going to definitely be a part of the equation. Jeremy McNichols, I look at it as the direct backup to Austin Ekeler. So unless Ek gets hurt, I don't expect J-Mac to have much of an offensive role. I think he'll be a core teamer, which is fine. You need that. But yeah, like, I just don't know if there are enough balls to go around. Like, Deebo Samuel also gonna want some touches. And then Jaden Daniels is a big part of your rushing game from last year as well. Let's not forget this in terms of, like, one, the importance of the run game, and then two, just how much they'll use it. Because I think we sleep on these numbers. Last year, in terms of total runs, tied for the fifth most runs in the National Football League. So it's a part of their DNA. Even going back to Cliff, when he was in Arizona, man, like the traditional running backs get it. If he's got a gadget, they'll get some touches. So I knew the running game was going to be part of it. What I'm more excited about with the run game is the fact that the design of it all. I know we talked about this earlier with Bobby Johnson and Cliff Kingsbury and Anthony Lynn. I think it's a good group. I think they're well coached. I think they're going to figure it out, you know, 9 times out of 10. In terms of this, I want to take your calls on this if you got any at 1-800-636-1067. For your money, like, who's going to be the leading rusher for the Washington Commanders in 2025? 1-800-636-1067. Last year's leading rusher was Jaden Daniels, 891 yards on the ground. We all know how it went. The rest was history, right? Offensive rookie of the year, everyone's favorite quarterback all of a sudden. I absolutely love it. I'm not trying to be a hater when I say that. I'm being real. I said it earlier this offseason, and this is the beautiful thing about sports radio. It's the only job other than being a weatherman where you can be wrong or walk your take back and it'd be okay. I said it earlier this year, like earlier this offseason, I don't know if I would be okay with Jaden Daniels being the leading rusher again in 2025. But the more and more I think about this, right, and Dan Quinn alluded to this after the game on Monday when they were talking about, you know, should he have slid or should he have not? To me, man, you don't want to strip him of what makes him special. He's as surgical as they come from within the pocket. I think we all know that. But limiting his ability to scramble, I think, really is doing him a disservice. And I think the designation right there is what's important. The design runs last year, there weren't a ton of them for Jaden Daniels. It felt like he did a lot of his dirt scrambling, which is why I think, you know, there's no quarterback in the NFL that's a better scrambler than Jaden Daniels. There's nobody that threatens the line of scrimmage while in the pocket more than Jaden Daniels. I mean, I could talk all day long about it. He had 28 runs. Damn. Wow. I want to see how this stacks up against the rest of the National Football League. Last year, Jayden Daniels had 28 runs of 10 or more yards. In terms of, like, the league leaders in that category, Saquon 1, Derrick Henry 2, Jahmyr Gibbs 3, Lamar 4, James Conner and Bijan Robinson tied for 5th, Josh Jacobs comes in 6th, Jonathan Taylor 7th, Tony Pollard and Najee Harris tied for 8th. Wow, Jayden Daniels last year had the 9th most runs of 10 or more yards. So that explosive run element, say what you want, is definitely, you know, a major, major part of what they want to do offensively. But I want to open up the phones on this. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Who do you think is going to be the leading rusher next year for the Washington Commanders? We'll take your calls on that next. This is The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. I'll take you up to 11 o'clock tonight. Before we get out of here, Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, going to join us. He'll actually join us coming up next year. But right now, I want to take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. Who do you think is going to be the leading rusher in 2025 for the Washington Commanders? I'm going to go with Jayden Daniels. And I honestly had major doubts and reservations about if I wanted that to be the case or not, but I think the fact that he has been able to keep himself healthy for the most part, and I understand the rib injury happened, but that was really a fluky play. And honestly, he should have scored if he would have followed his blocks properly. He should have never cut the ball back inside against Carolina. He would have went 80 to the crib. You know what I'm saying? So that obviously hangs over it. But I mean, this is a dude that started all 17 games last year as a rookie. Think about all of the, you know, concerns we had about his build and his size coming out of Baton Rouge, man. And last year he showed, you know, not only am I more durable than you all think, but I'm going to play all 17 weeks and start every last game. And I know the rib injury against Carolina is, you know, going to color people's opinion. We had that scare. Remember that, Metal Chris? You could have heard a mouse take a leak on carpet, how quiet it got. We were at Tom's Watch Bar. When the Falcons were playing the Commanders on Sunday night, and I think B-Rob missed the block and pass pro, and Jayden got his leg bent back. And
looked like he was made out of rubber for a couple seconds there, man.
Dude, it was crazy. I think that's that plyometrics work. That's the off-season work coming full circle, man, with that, because
that was all that Commanders trauma coming back in a flash, too. You know, just well, the, that was oh, the worst great, part here we it. Go.
I had real, like, chills. And I thought that it was going to come out that he was hurt and that he had needed an MRI or something, but, like, he ended up being fine. That's my biggest fear, man. Like, if he gets hurt, bro, I've gone through this so many times, it feels like, but really it's only been once with Robert. But, like, that thing felt like it – the trickle-down effect from Robert not working out, like, we felt it forever because we traded 3 damn first-round picks to move up to that number 2 spot to draft him. So when it didn't work out, you missed out on first round picks for 3 whole years, man. There could be dudes still playing on this football team from that draft class. Like, there are people that are still playing in the NFL from the 2012 draft. And then the next year, the 2013 draft, you blew your first round pick. 2014, you blew your first round pick. 2015 is when you finally got your first round pick back. So, like, ugh, what could have been? But that's, like, my big fear and concern with Jayden Daniels. And I know that's why, you know, folks agree with me when I said it. I wasn't okay if he was the leading rusher this year. Like, that's not what I wanted. But the more and more I think about it, man, you can't stop him from doing what makes him special. That is his, I would say, his number one trait. But it's damn close to the top of the list, man. Like, it's probably one of the sharpest tools in his toolbox. His ability to scramble, and that's the thing that I keep, you know, wanting to differentiate. It's the difference between design runs and scrambling. The scrambling, I think, makes you less susceptible to get hurt because it's kind of coming out of nowhere. So it's fascinating to me. I continue to think, yeah, Jayden will be the leading rusher, but I also feel like it's going to be a running back by committee approach. I don't think one guy is going to dominate the carries. for the Washington Commanders. But I'll say this. That rushing attack and how versatile it's gotten here. And I dubbed it last year. What did I dub it? Exotic Smash Mouth Football, right? Put it on a t-shirt. That's what I kept telling folks. To me, man, and Dan Quinn talked about this earlier, the changes schematically that they have made to the run game, implementing more of the gap scheme with counter and trap and wham. It's different types of runs, man, that they're going to be able to get to. And I think that is going to ultimately determine who gets the most carries. Who's the best when you're running your trap stuff? Who's the best when you're running counter? Who's the best when you're running your wham plays, duo, things of that nature? I think that will dictate the carries. But the one thing I would continue to highlight and say is, like, I like this running back room. But like I said a moment ago, they're unheralded. I give you that. They haven't really proven anything. Or what Doc Walker say, they ain't busted damn great. They haven't. Outside of Austin Ekeler, who's a proven commodity in this league, Jeremy McNichols, career journeyman, Bill Kroski merit a seventh-round pick. They didn't even play college football last year. Chris Rodriguez, former seventh-round pick. So it is an unheralded room. Ironically enough, though, it's an unheralded room. And the best guy in that running back room is leader of the Mr. Unheralded Club. Austin Ekeler was an undrafted free agent. Austin Ekeler is an undrafted free agent. Like, to me, it's one of them situations where I love that he's in this room, right? I love that he's a part of this. What perfect guy, what more perfect guy to have to talk to folks in that room, your Bill Kroski merits, your Jeremy McNichols, so on and so forth. Who better to have in that room than an Austin Ekeler showing you how to get it out the mud, showing you how to do it and do things the greasy way, man. Like that to me, that to me is what it's about. And I love that Austin's part of this room, and I think all the other running backs are better off for it. That being said, like, yeah, I think he is the best overall running back on the Washington Commanders. And looking at his numbers in more detail from a season ago, you wish you had more of him. You honestly just wish you had more of him. I know that was the frustrating part when it comes to Austin Ekeler. Ended up just having 367 yards on the ground, but it was 4.8 yards a pop. Like, that's pretty damn good, man. And I think looking at some of the advanced analytics when it comes to this stuff, Austin Ekeler was third on this team in terms of rushes of 10 or more yards, and he's got way less carries than the other guys. So, like, that to me is what matters as well. The Chris Rodriguez numbers are interesting to me as well, as well as the B-Rob numbers. So last year, in terms of, like, kind of painting the picture for you as to why Brian Robinson Jr. Is, you know, not going to be around most likely when the season starts. It's tough because I think, as Baldy alluded to, I think he's a good player. I think he's one of the best 32 backs in football. Just don't know if his fit here matters. So in terms of runs against a stacked box last year, Brian Robinson Jr. ran against stacked boxes 14.4% of the time. Chris Rodriguez actually ran against a stacked box more than that. That's the crazy part. Like, that is the crazy part to me. Right? Like, for all of the hubbub about why Brian Robinson is no longer here, I can admit it. Like, C-Rod runs hard. Not going to deny that at all. But, like, to me, I was in a little bit of a denial where, like, is he better than Brian Robinson? I don't even think that's the conversation. I think what it's about is, you know, who is more valuable to the team. And I think with B-Rob not playing teams, you know, obviously that answer is going to be Chris Rodriguez. So it's going to be fascinating to watch it all play out here. Rumor has it that Washington should be able to get some sort of late-round draft compensation in exchange for Brian Robinson Jr. I'll be interested if they do this. Like, do they say, well, the hell with the compensation? We want to do something that can help us right now. Maybe it's adding a depth piece along the offensive line. Maybe it's adding a depth piece at wide receiver. But as I continue to say to y'all, you can have your doubts and reservations about where this receiving core currently stands. But I think in terms of how they fill out the rest of the roster, you're going to see cutdown day be important for Washington. They're going to be one of those teams that are meddling. It's not meddling. As my grandmother would say to me, stop meddling, boy. Commanders going to be meddling on cutdown day. Looking at other waiver wires and seeing who they could bring in here to help make an impact. But we'll see how it ultimately plays out. Cutdown day coming up Tuesday. I have four running backs on my final 53-man roster. Will it play out that way? That's the question. 1-800-636-1067. We're going to let you hear from ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano next here on The Fan. Still moving and grooving right along here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in to the youngest in charge, and L. Willigan. We'll take you up to 11 o'clock. Couple of guests going to stop by to wrap up the show. Coming up momentarily, we'll be joined by ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano. Before we get out of here, though, Sharif Floyd, assistant D-line coach for the Washington Commanders, is going to join us as well. Before they do that, let's go out to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning company in the DMV. Let's go out to our guy, Dan Graziano. Always love catching up with Dan. You can give Dan a follow on the X app at Dan Graziano ESPN. Dan, are you tired of talking about Terry McLaurin?
No, it's all good. This is where it's getting, you know, we're getting down to it, right? It's going to be time pretty soon for this to, you know, to resolve itself one way or the other. And I think I'm fascinated to see how it happens because, you know, he really stood out with $20 million on the table, or would he, you know, ultimately, like, take what they're offering or bet on himself and play the thing out in his free agency next year when he's about to turn 31. You know, it just feels like a big risk. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens here in the next – but the fact that he's off PUP, you know, the fact that there's a chance he could return to practice, I mean, that's all encouraging signs. They've been steadfast saying they don't want to trade him, they won't trade him. But I think this ends with him on this year's team. I just think the question is now, like, what's the contract? Is it the one he has, or is it some kind of new one that maybe he doesn't love?
Dan, based off of folks you've been able to talk to close to this situation, how dug in is Terry McLaurin on getting this resolved by way of an extension?
So, look, that's the kind of thing where we have to find out.
Yeah.
Is he willing to sit out games, right? Like, I don't know. Anybody can say they're dug in, right? But, right. Like, here we go. In 2.5 weeks, there's a game. So are you going to play in it? Because if not, then you're dug in. Like, now I'm buying it,
yeah.
Right? So, but if you show up and play, then I know that your position will. Now, look, it's a tough situation. The team holds all the cards. The,
right.
You know, they can. He's the one who loses money if he sits out. And, you know, the player, I understand, we don't see too many guys execute that leverage. Chris Jones did it with the Chiefs a couple of years ago. We all remember him sitting in the box up there with his agents, right, at the opening game, which they lost. So we'll see. But I think, you know, that feels like a cop-out answer, but it's really not.
No, I hear you. And look, Dan, look, I know how you get down. I know how you get down. You won't give me any cop-out answers. That's why we wanted to have you on, brother. I know you're going to tell us straight and tell us what you think and what you know here. So him not being at the game Monday night. While Trey Hendrickson was, is the fascinating and baffling part to me. What did you make of that? And then what did you make of him? I don't know if you heard the presser from earlier today. Kime, obviously astute guy, seasoned reporter, going to do the job to the best of his ability. He asked Dan Quinn straight up as a two-parter. He first asked him, would he be on the practice field today? And then in the second part of that question, he asked Dan Quinn, what was the decision for him? What went into the decision for him not to be there Monday night? And was that a mutual agreement between the team and McLaurin? And Dan Quinn told him to refer to his first answer. So if it was a mutual decision, Dan, then wouldn't Dan Quinn have came out and just said, yeah, we agreed for him not to be there?
Yes, I think so. So maybe that's Terry making a statement by not showing up, right? Like, maybe that's him saying, look, I am serious. But again, like, if he sits out the game against the Giants in 2.5 weeks, then that's when they know for sure he's serious, and maybe they have to think about changing their position if they want him to come in. If he shows up for that game, then they really don't have to change their position.
This is fascinating to me, and I'm glad you're kind of reading it the way that I was reading it, because – He even gave John, because John's such a respected guy in that room, like Dan's trying to do his best to be respectful to all parties involved.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Super nice guy.
Exactly.
So I thought it was funny at the end of it. He kind of chuckled at John and was like, because John followed up and was like, he asked the question again. And Dan basically did the Cotton Eye Joe and sidestepped away from the question. So that to me was something I'm definitely reading. Dan, I also looked at it this way. I don't know how protocol goes between media and these teams, but couldn't the Commanders just have told Lisa Salters and the crew at ESPN, hey, Terry's not available for comment tonight, if that was a potential issue for them? Because Trey Hendrickson was out there, and Dan, if you watched it, it was the Cincinnati Bengals show.
Actually at the stadium.
Right.
Right? Like, that's the whole, yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, yes, but, and again, I'm not, like, we're
spitballing right now.
Right?
We're spitballing
right now.
Maybe
the team wanted it out there that he wasn't at the game, because a lot of times in these situations, each side wants to make it look like it's the other one's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're being unreasonable, right? So, that's possible. Or maybe Lisa did, you know, some reporting. That's most likely, actually. Mm-hmm. She's a very good reporter. And also, you know how it goes? Like, at these games, like, the reporters all stand there and film the arrivals, right?
Right.
So they watch everybody come in, and, you know, if they didn't see Terry, then people are going to start asking questions. Is he here? Is he not? And, you know.
The one thing that's hanging over this, Dan, is Sam Cosmi also was not in attendance and not spotted there. He is still on the PUP list. So that was kind of the, okay, maybe that is just a part of his return to play process. But I continue to believe that things are, in terms of the relationship, Dan, I think it's a lot more turbulent than what Washington is trying to lead people on to believe. And I think him being taken off of PUP, Dan, means one or two things. One, maybe they've made some progress towards a deal, but we continue to hear that's not the case. Or two, Washington's telling Terry, hey, buddy, time to crap or get off of the pot. You're off a pup, right. So you got to start practicing.
Start showing up for practice. Now we're going to fine you. Yeah, exactly.
So
I think that's entirely possible. Yeah.
Interesting situation here, Dan. We're joined by ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano, talking all things burgundy and gold. We'll take a quick spin around the NFL here momentarily. There was a report out there from a local radio host in Pittsburgh that's actually broke some news before, but also has been terribly wrong at times as well. He said it was a murmur. Said there's been murmurs in NFL circles that Washington has shopped Terry McLaurin, or picking up the phone on Terry McLaurin. In terms of their willingness to trade him, I know what's out there is that they don't want to do it. I get that as well. You want to field your best roster for 2025. But at some point, or let me walk that back. Do you think they have picked up the phone on Terry to this point?
I think to the extent that you answer any call, yes.
Okay. Right.
But they have been steadfast in saying they won't trade Terry, and I think that's what they're telling teams. If they got to a point where they felt like they had to, he's not going to play for us, we got to get something for him. It's a total hypothetical road here, right?
Right.
Don't clip it off.
I know, I got
you. Like Dan's saying it's going to happen.
No, I got you.
Right? They have to get a receiver. Like,
they need help.
Return.
Yeah.
Like, my disgruntled receiver for your disgruntled receiver, whoever that may be, and I can't think of it off the top of my head in terms of, you know, what that deal would be. I was at one of their training camp practices. He wasn't out there. Noah Brown wasn't out there. It's, you know, you're not going to live with just at or behind the line of scrimmage throws to Deebo Samuel and the running backs.
Right.
And Zach Ertz. Like, that's just not going to work if you're going to get where you want to go. So that's Terry's leverage, is the threat that they won't have him. But again, teams aren't going to take that seriously until they're sure a guy's willing to actually do the sitting out.
Dan, any sense that the Commanders are blindsided at how dug in Terry is here, or surprised? Maybe blindsided is too strong.
Yeah, not blindsided, but I think they probably thought it would get done more easily in this. The wide receiver market's weird. There are plenty of teams out there that think this $30 million figure for a wide receiver is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, there's seven or eight of them come out in the draft every year. Why would I need to pay this? And I don't know for a fact that Washington is one of those, but there's a debate around the league in terms of, is this market getting out of hand? And, you know, they may have thought they could get it done for mid to high 20s a year, and then turns out he's looking for low to mid 30s. It's a pretty big gap. So I think, you know, you look around the league, I think the Cowboys thought Micah Parsons would get done easy. I think the 49ers are surprised that Juwan Jennings is upset. Like, there's a lot of teams dealing with this. Trey Hendrickson, of course, in Cincinnati, as you mentioned. But, yeah, I think if you go back to the beginning of the offseason and asked Washington about Terry McLaurin's contract, they probably thought it was going to be easier than this.
knowing what you know about the three high-profile holdouts, Hendrickson, Parsons, McLaurin, which one do you think is the most contentious?
Oh, Parsons, it's not even close.
Really? Okay.
That's very personal right now for some reason.
And it seems like that should be the easy one, right?
He thought he had a deal, and yeah, but it's the Cowboys.
Well.
Nothing's ever simple over there, right?
No,
I think that's the one that's the most contentious. I think that's the one that's least likely to end in a new contract and the most likely to see the guy, you know, watching from the box week one. Especially, think about it, their game's 3 days earlier than everybody else.
Right, so there's less time.
That Thursday night opener. So,
yeah,
I think that's, I think these others, Terry wants to be in Washington. Washington wants him there. Trey Hendrickson wants to be in Cincinnati. Cincinnati wants him there. Yeah, these deals can get worked out at the last minute. But Micah is, even though like Dak Prescott did get worked out at basically literally the last minute last year, it doesn't feel like this is the same kind of situation.
I just got a, I don't even know if you want me to share this. Let me not do that. Our pal Kime gave me a thumbs up. Because I texted him, like, man, he sure did sidestep your question. And, you know, that was hours ago. Kime's busy doing stories, podcasting, and all that. But he did acknowledge, yeah, that was a sidestep. A couple of quick hitters before we get you out of here. Is Anthony Richardson going to be playing on a new team at some point, or do you think they try to salvage that situation?
That's a good one. I don't get the sense from the Colts that they've given up. You know, Daniel Jones hasn't been the healthiest dude in his career either.
Yeah.
Like, there's a decent chance this isn't over in terms of Anthony Richardson starting for the Colts. But it's not a good sign. Yeah. Look, he's 23 years old. If they haven't given up on him, then obviously you understand why. I mean, 23 is still pretty young, and he hasn't played. I think he's, like I saw, he's missed like 19 of their 34 games they've played since they drafted him. So, I think he probably plays for the Colts again. But if they move him next offseason, I don't think that would shock anybody.
And what do you make of some of the reports that are coming out of Florham Park right now about the struggles of Justin Fields? Aaron Glenn scoffed at it earlier this afternoon. What have you heard about that? And do you think that not the cooler heads will prevail, but that Justin will be or get the opportunity, rather, to be their long-term guy? I think the runway's there because Tyrod's hurt, but do you think he grabs ring?
I think he'll get the year, right?
Yeah.
And then we'll see. Justin still has work to do as a passer. He's a brilliant runner, and he's had his moments as a passer, but I think they want him to be more consistent, more consistently accurate with the ball. And, you know, that's a work in progress. Also a young player, only played six games last year. So, I think, you know, there's a couple weeks to go till the start of the season. Training camp reports are training camp reports. These folks that are giving them to you are on the ground. They're seeing it with their own eyes. I don't doubt it. But sometimes it looks ugly in training camp, and it looks good once the season starts, and it's the other way around.
As we've seen with this Commanders team, four plays, touchdown drive on Monday night. It was not that easy throughout training camp. Dan, we appreciate you as always, man. The absolute best. Thanks for giving us some time this evening, brother.
My thanks to you. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, indeed. That is Dan Graziano, one of the absolute best, talking all things National Football League, giving us his perspective on the latest with Terry McLaurin. That's tough. Terry back out on the practice field this afternoon watching baseball cap, sweatpants. I hope. Can I reiterate that again? I hope he's available for the opener. I haven't been here on the Fan in a little while because the weekend. Let me not say that. But old pal Danny Rurrier, I love me some Danny Rurrier, one of the most talented individuals I've ever come across in my life. Why did you all not give Danny Rurrier the same flack that you gave me? I said it a week and a half ago, but I think there's a 35% chance that Terry McLaurin misses the season opener. It's either yesterday or the day before, Danny Rurrier came out and said there's a 50% chance that Terry McLaurin misses the opener. You know how many comments I got on the post? 158. Mean, nasty. Some of the comments, borderline racist. Call me a DEI hire because of my take. But Danny said it's a 50% chance and it just means nothing to you? I don't know, man. I don't know. 1-800-636-1067. I will say this. Danny and I, we co-hosted together about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and we talked about the Terry McLaurin situation at that point. And to his credit, and I say this all the time, but you all call me a flip-flopper for it, when you get presented new information, right, you have the ability to change your opinion. More overtime next. One final segment to go before we hand things over to Bart Winkler and the Infinity Sports Network. I want to appreciate all of you chiming in to the show. Took a bunch of calls throughout the show. Big thank you to you all on the phones. Thank you to Dan Graziano of ESPN. Thank you to Logan Paulson of the Take Command podcast. Thank you to me for doing a great show. Thank you to the YouTube comments and those of you that are out there in the chats, though, we appreciate you making some time for us. I don't know, it's just one person. I feel like I'm missing somebody.
Yeah, who could it be?
Who am I missing? Hold on, let me just go through it again. I thanked myself. I thanked the callers. We had a bunch of calls. Who took the calls?
I don't know.
I have no clue. Yeah, so somebody. Thank you to the thank you to the YouTube chat. Thank you to Dan Graziano. Thank you to Logan Paulson. Thank you to JP Findlay. He shot me a corrective text throughout the show. Correcting some information that I said, or trying to, not even correcting, because I don't think I was wrong, confirming something that I had said. There's just one guy. I don't know who to, damn it. Who do I think? One guy left, and he like listens to overly loud music. He's got a fix for, he needs his fix of Doritos every time he's in studio.
Man, there ain't nothing better to eat around this place.
Who am I forgetting? I want to thank Xfinity for being the television provider. I know we have files now, so that's tough. No, in all honesty, thank you to Metal Chris helping us out today. Me and Metal Chris keeping Odyssey DC afloat as we were double timers today.
Oh, yeah, both of us working double shifts.
Picking up what we can pick up, man. For us tomorrow, you can catch me 4 to 7 on our sister station, the Team 980 on the Burgundy and Gold today. We'll give you a Friday installment of Burgundy and Bold. Boldest predictions for this 2025 Washington Commanders season. Also something that we'll touch on tomorrow on the Burgundy and Gold. Something that we kind of touched on a little bit today is a regression possible for the 2025 Commanders. I think we know the answer to that, but the bigger thing is this when it comes to the regression. Is it being overblown by national media pundits? That's going to do it, though, here for this Thursday night edition of Overtime. Keep the convo going with me on social media. It is at NELL_BTP.